Welcome to Flyover Conservative Podcast with David and Stacey Whited, where we break down current events and examine culture through the lens of conservative Christian values.
Good morning, everybody, once again, and welcome to today's live show. Now, I told you this morning when we were on live, I was so excited to do the show at 9 o'clock with my friend Stacey, because last time we were on with the the prophetic report, and she's going to show us what God is saying through all the prophets, how they're all confirming, and it is phenomenal, the job that she does. And so I want to welcome Stacey. You are a great friend. I love you and your family. Thank you for joining today's show.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to be with you. I have my Good Morning Everybody cup today. I cannot wait to share with you how everything that God has been saying through the prophets, how it's all coming together. You know, I've been doing the prophetic report now. I mean, I think it was like April maybe of 2021. So now it's been 3 years, and it's been exciting to see just how God's voice has just continued to increase as things have got more darker, as things have got more chaotic. His voice has gotten louder. Yep. And it's been so exciting. In fact, my show started about, it would go about 30 minutes, and now it's up to about 2.5 hours every single week talking about what God is doing prophetically and what he's saying. It is awesome.
Isn't God so cool? So I know everyone last time we were on together, they were just like so excited. They loved the show. I saw all these different comments. They were just like, have her on again. And I know I've been traveling so much. I'm like, I know you have too. And I'm like, I have got to get her back on this show.
Well, I've been really looking forward to it. It's been interesting since January of 2024. Things just started shifting, kind of changing, you know, the prophetic report, even the categories. So what I do is every week I've got a group of ladies that are going through the prophetic. I'm going through the prophetic. They send me things that they feel like the Lord has highlighted, whether it be video or written word. And then I sit down with the Lord, and then we put the show together, and it comes out every Wednesday at 11:11. And then a few months ago, I had the opportunity to actually take those, And I always show the video portion of it, or I read the written word, whatever, you know, I have received it in. But God gave me this opportunity to then start writing out the prophetic report, where then it's the written word, and then it's put into categories. So the things that line up every single week between the prophets, they're put into different categories, and then the written words are put together. And so in 2024, in January, you know, before that, it was maybe like 5 or 6 things that we're crossing, always at least 4, but 5 or 6, you know, categories. Now we're up to about 16, 17 categories every single week that are consistent over and over and over again. And I wanted to tell you, so for you, I always say this on the show, you're kind of always the hub. You're like a wheel, you know, you have a hub and then you have these spokes that come out. It's like yours are consistently the words that God gives you. It will take these different prophetic words from these different prophets, and it pulls it all together. Wow. And I was just going to tell you the I don't know what was going on April the 15th, but you had 2 major words come out on April the 15th, one that God gave you before the show and then one that God gave you during the show. And so the last 2 weeks on the prophetic report, he's had me use those 2 words. And in that, I just want you to know that as I was doing the written prophetic report, that the first one I used was your first word, which was this week, was called exposing the ones who are causing the invasion from within. Mm-hmm. And God gave you that before the recording started. And then last week, he had me use your second word during the live show. But this week, out of all of the prophetic words that came together, the categories, 7 categories were lined up out of your prophetic word that God gave you. And then last week, 10 of the out of the categories were from the prophetic word that God gave you.
Wow. I don't know what to say. Like when you say like a hub, I'm going like, there's so many prophecies and they're so detailed and they're so like, you can have one prophecy and then it's connected to like 15 or 20 or 30 or more. And you're just like, it's just like a storyline.
It is.
You're like taking all of this and you're taking all these different prophecies for not only what I'm hearing, but from what everybody else is hearing. And you're putting this puzzle and you're putting it like connecting all these dots. And so many people need to hear it. That's why I knew how important it was for you to be back on the show, because there's so much mocking and ridiculing and persecution when it comes to the prophets and how prophets aren't today. And God wasn't talk to people like that. But this is proving
it
God
is
doing that. Because you can't make this stuff up.
No.
No questions with God.
No, that is exactly right. And I wanted to tell you, too, because over the last few weeks, there's been categories that have been really consistent. Like it's the same categories over and over, but new words, if that makes sense. So new words, but same categories. So the ones that have been just over the last 2 weeks, just so you know, over the last 2 weeks, six things have been consistent. One is God's glory. God has been talking a lot about that. The next one is darkness. So it's almost like God's glory, and then what the enemy, you know, is talking about, like darkness. So you got that. And then shaking, what's going to be happening, but then revival. Mm-hmm. And then no fear, that has been very consistent. And then finally, God is talking all the time about victory, mm-hmm. that the victory is coming. And so every time that there may be something that maybe feels like scary, God's like, but look at this, you know, it might be dark, but look at my glory. You know, you might be fearful, but here's victory. You know, I mean, it's so cool. And then there's going to be shaking. You're going to see shaking, but revival is coming.
Yeah. I mean, God, he said there's the reason why the shaking is for this awakening.
Yes.
And so awakening is the revival.
Exactly.
And there cannot be this awakening or this revival without people being shaken out of, just like he was giving me yesterday during our prayer call. Is people need to get out of the motion of the day and everything they're just doing. It's the mundane things, the things that they're doing over and over and over, like the Groundhog Day. And God says, I am shaking you loose from those things because right now all eyes need to be on God.
Yes, exactly. And something that I'm hearing a lot as well, you know, before Joshua and the Israelites crossed over into the promised land, God said, consecrate yourself because I'm going to do amazing things among you. And I feel like that is what God is saying right now. Set yourself apart because I'm going to do amazing things among you. But we have a part in that. Like we have to set ourselves apart because he's going to do amazing things among us. But we have a job to do.
Yeah. And he also gives those conditional words. If.
Yes.
When. Therefore. So there are conditional words. We have a part to play. And I was just going over that with everybody this morning is God is telling us, if you abide in me,
yes,
and then you are free. Mm-hmm. And so if we abide in God, how do we abide in God? Get in his word, get to know what he says. I mean, everything like in this ministry, everything we do, we want to make sure that we're doing it unto God, that we're doing it his way, when he wants us to do it, how he wants us to do it, where he wants us to go, when he wants us to go.
Yes.
It's everything is based upon him and abiding in him and his will. Because when we do that, he was showing us, look, when you are with me and you're abiding in me, you are free.
Right.
And the enemy can't get you. Like you're free from the enemy. So it's like, because the enemy can't be in the presence of God. So that's why we've got to get in God's presence more often.
Oh, it's so important. And, you know, so I've been really looking at this. I've been doing, like I said, 3 years, you know, of like, I've loved the prophetic for years, but 3 years of like stewarding these words that I feel like God is sharing for the nation. And I'm like, okay, God's given me a platform. God used my time, talent, and treasure. And this is something that he gave me, you know, to do. And so stewarding it, I've been like, okay, God, what do we do? Like, what is our job as the body of Christ? What are we supposed to be doing during this time? Because I think people are really starting to feel it. You know, the eclipse on April the 8th, by the way, the show you did with Larry Ballard was phenomenal. I received that from so many people. Did you see this? You know, that was such a great show. And everybody knew like the significance of April the 8th with that eclipse, obviously after the 2017 eclipse, you know, that came across the country with Salem, and then goes across the country with Nineveh. And so everybody's like, okay, God, what are you saying right now? And then 40 days leading up to Pentecost. And obviously Jonah was coming out and warning, you have 40 days. And so we know that there's is significant that the time we're in is really important. Yeah. You also have, we're right now in the middle of Passover. So obviously big things happen, you know, around the Hebrew calendar and their holidays. So it's like, okay, God, what are you doing? And so I've been really praying like, God, what do we do with all of these words, everything that we've been given, you know, when I write out these different categories and the prophetic report, and I came across a lady a few months ago. I think she really is a general in God's army. God's really kept her hidden, but she's been in ministry for over 40 years. Pastor, she actually wrote this book. I don't know if you've seen this book before, His Blood Speaks. Mm-mm. Okay. This book is amazing. I highly recommend it to everyone. It's called His Blood Speaks, Your Victory, The Devil's Defeat. God gave her this book in 1991 and told her to hold on to it. She actually wrote it in 1991, hold on to it until he told her to release it. And then she just released it over this last year. But I've had the opportunity because through Robin Bullock, I met her through Robin Bullock, Prophet Robin, Jean Bailey on Victory Channel, you know, like those different people, Sid Roth, you know, that's somebody that she's been connected to. And so I've been asking her, okay, what do we do? Like, how do we steward these prophetic words? And she said, there's three things that God showed her that we are to do. Like when we receive a prophetic word, because we have a job as the body, it's like God is saying something through the prophets. Now, what do we do with it? Is it for encouragement? I think a lot of times it is, but then what else do we do with it? And she said, there's three things that God showed her, and you have to ask God. This is not just, you just assume, you ask God. Let's say it's a something of warning that's coming. Then it's like, okay, God, the first question is, can this be stopped? Can this actually be stopped? What you're showing that maybe the plan of the enemy, can this be stopped? Then the next question is, if it can't be stopped, can it be changed in any way? And she gave an example of when somebody had let her know that they had a dream about her son when he was in high school, that he died in a car accident. And so she was like, okay, she took it to the Lord. She said, is this prophetic? And the Lord said, it is. It is something that you need to be aware of. So she asked the Lord, she goes, can I stop it? And he said, no. She said, can I change it? And he said, yes. He said, the car accident is going to happen, but you can pray and your son will be saved. And 9 months later, that happened exactly the way that the dream was, except for it was changed because her son lived. And it was all through intercession and prayer. And I'm like, wow, I mean, it's so powerful. And then the final thing is, can it be altered? And I was like, what's the difference between changed and altered? What does that mean? And she said, well, let's say that somebody has on a red dress with a scoop collar. She said, you can ask for it to be changed. This is just an example of a change between you could be altered by making it a V-neck with maybe some buttons. So it's the same dress, the same situation, but something has been changed or altered in that versus changing it from a dress to jeans. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so I've been really looking at this like, okay, God, what is our part? And as I'm going through these words, she talks about prophetically praying into it. So if Julie gives a word and you hear that word about victory or you hear about glory, then it's our job as the body of Christ to then start praying that and decreeing that and standing with what God is already saying. If it's a word of warning, then we come to God and say, okay, God, can we stop it? Can we change it? Can we alter it? And then we start praying into that and asking God to put his words in our mouth. And it has been awesome to see what God is doing because he is consistently showing these categories and we are partnering by declaring and decreeing them with the prophets. We come into agreement. We're praying for you all. I think that's important too, yeah. Praying protection over you. You're making sure that you have the time and the space to be able to spend time with the Lord, that when you hear a word, it's clear and then you can deliver it. You know, all of those things are important. And that's what that's our job as the body of Christ, to stand around the prophets, protection over them, and then declare and decree what they're saying during this time.
And we appreciate that because, I mean, being on the front lines, there's some days you feel it. And, you know, I was telling the people like the darkness that can be felt, because I actually had that happen to me about a week and a half ago. It was a darkness and it was felt so strong.
Sure.
But one of the things I was asking the Lord, I said, what do I do with this? And he says, not only are you out of it, but now you're going to explain to people, this is how it feels, but this is what you do.
Right.
There are certain things that the enemy does to us, but we can learn from it and we can teach from it. So all the tests and the trials and all that adversity and all the darkness and all the, you know, suicide and the fear and anxiety and everything that I went through back before I, you know, was doing all of these things.
Yes.
God is showing me, look, You can turn every one of those tests into a testimony and change something. And that's how my been on my heart. And so when you guys are praying for the prophets and you're praying for the fivefold ministry and you're praying for people who are out of the front lines, it's so important. Because when you have those people right on that battle, they're in that battlefront, they're getting all the hits.
Yes, because the enemy wants to shut you down. Mm-hmm. He knows if he shuts you down, then there's not the words coming out that the body needs to stand behind and pray and declare and decree. So if he can knock you out, then it knocks out a lot.
Yeah. And another thing that's important really to pray about too is people need to pray for the unity in the body of Christ, because I still see, you know, just the tearing apart and destroying it. Destroying so many different ministries that I know that are real and that are a love God and they do it for the right reason. And, you know, there's just so much, you know, stuff going on to deceive people and to not believing in who these people are.
You're right. And there's a lot of prophetic words surrounding that as well, that the unity, God is calling for unity. We cannot be divided. As a body of Christ, we've got to link arms, stand together, and not be shooting our arrows at each other. But be shooting our arrows at the enemy.
We shouldn't be wasting any of our energy or our weapons on each other.
Exactly.
I mean, we need to know the common enemy, and the common enemy is Satan and anyone who's with him. He has got an army. And one of the things I love what God said yesterday is we need to storm the enemy's camp.
And
take everything back. Storming is not like you just walk in there nonchalant. It is like, I'm going to go in there with a reason and a purpose, and I'm going to storm it and I'm taking it back. So it's like taking it seriously. And that's what God wants us to do, start taking it seriously. So I'm so excited to see what you have with all of these different categories and what everybody's been saying.
Me too. I am really excited. I want to start with this. So I'm going to start with this week, which was the prophetic word that you released on April the 15th, which was the first prophetic word that you received that was called exposing the ones who are causing the invasion from within. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is what the Lord said through you about his glory. He said, you will come through all this with my glory, my protection, and my direction. You will have glorious and unprecedented victories. Things that you never thought could take place will. Things that you have never seen before will be seen. It is all about to come to an end. So rejoice. The great I am is here, saith the Lord, your Redeemer. So that's what the Lord said through you on April the 15th. On April the 23rd, I don't know if you've heard of Diana Larkin. She writes for Watchman's Journal.
Yeah, I have heard of her.
She's on His Glory. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is what she said. The Lord said through her on the 23rd, the ocean of glory will flood out the darkness, and they will be beached high and dry, exposed and taken away. The ocean of glory will sweep people into the kingdom, and they will find true love and lasting peace. My ocean of glory is far more powerful than the darkness who feeds people's fears and greed. My ocean of glory poured out will restore the awe and wonder of who my Father is, and eyes will be opened to the beauty of his kingdom. Assess through my blood the most powerful sacrifice of love ever given.
Wow. That goes along with another word the Lord gave about he was flooding the earth with his glory.
I remember that word.
And he said, it's like the days of Noah. Instead of flooding it with water, he was flooding with his glory. And so I just, that has resonated so with me also with that, not only the prophetic word on the 15th, but also what he's been saying about the glory, like flooding the earth.
It's so true. And that the week that you released that, Hank Kuhneman had a very similar word that you had that about the flooding of his glory as well, like Noah.
Really?
Yes, the same week. And that's so fun.
It is so awesome. I love it. I love hearing it. I so miss people being able to watch all these people. I used to watch them long ago.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
I know it's encouraging to hear it. Another one I want you to know is, so this is Pastor Robin Bullock, not prophet, because there's two Robin Bullocks, you know, at Church International, they're husband and wife. So Prophet Robin, Pastor Robin, and Pastor Robin on Sunday at Church International. So that would have been the 21st of April. She was just flowing and she was in her prayer language. She was speaking in tongues. And all of a sudden, this prophetic word came out of her. And this is what she said. I don't know if you know Lester Summerall, but yes. Okay. So he was an American Pentecostal pastor, evangelist, teacher, missionary. Well, this is what she said. He said, I want to be a part of every wave that's coming. She said, well, this is the last wave and it's a wave of glory. says the Lord. Get ready to tell the story of the glory, for the glory is busting through this atmosphere. It is coming. It is coming. It's not only hovering, but it's saturating those who are believing it, because it's coming. It's coming. Oh, it's coming. No, it is here. It is here, says the Lord. It has come through the portal of the open door, because 2024 is the open door, because my people have cried and they've wanted and they've longed to see it. So open your eyes, your natural and spiritual, and see the glory and tell the story of the glory all across the land.
Oh my goodness. I love that. The story of the glory. Wow. I mean, seriously, how much does God have to pay attention and get us our attention and say, hey, this is my glory. The enemies are trying. It's always the darkest before the dawning. And so it's always the worst. It's always the most impossible. It's always the most depressing or frustrating. And God say, look, when you know that you're at that door, when you're at that door, when everything is so bad, remember my glory.
Yes.
His glory destroys that darkness. It always has. It always will. And the glory is God's presence, his power, and his goodness. So just think, he's going to flood the earth with his presence.
It's so cool.
With his power. He's going to flood the earth with his goodness.
And he's pouring it out through that open door of 2024, which was been prophesied.
Yeah, he did. He said that it was a year of the open door. Yeah.
I know. It's like so fun.
I think he said, was it a year of more or... I don't remember all the things he said about 2024. There's a lot of things he said about 2024. I remember going through when he was giving that prophecy about all the different things about 2024. 2024 is a year you've been waiting for. That's another thing about it.
Yes. And it's exciting because you think about how long we as the body have been waiting. Let's just even go back to 2020 and everything that happened with the election and the disappointment of that. And then it's like waiting, waiting, waiting. And as more exposure keeps coming out, you know, if Trump would have gotten right in right away, then we wouldn't have been able to see all of this just yucky darkness that needed to be exposed. And so it's like exposing, exposing. So you think how long we've been waiting, waiting, holding on to the prophetic words, believing God and his timing. And now for you to even say that about 2024, I mean, it's so exciting.
Yeah.
And you're right about the, so the darkness, again, we were talking about his glory and then God highlighted the darkness. What is God saying through the prophets about the darkness? And, again, that same word, your first prophetic word from April the 15th, the Lord said through you to my children who are fighting this fight and seeing the darkness, the evil and the corruption firsthand, things may appear overwhelming and impossible to overcome, and it is without me. But I am on your side, and you will not lose. This nation will not fall. I have put you in places and positions to help take back the nation. So go forward, keep fighting, keep pushing through, because I have you, and I do not lose, saith the Lord of hosts. Yes!
Go God. Yeah, God doesn't lose. And that's what we have to think about. You see all this darkness and it's chaos filling the streets right now and the universities and all that stuff. And God's saying, look, they're going to bring the darkness, but I'm bringing my light that destroys that darkness. So don't get in fear about it. Don't worry about it because I'm on your side.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And Amanda Grace, she had a big word. The Lord started on the 16th with her, and then she, Chris ended up coming in. She was in the office when she was getting this word from the Lord, and it kind of stopped the flow. And so he started again on the 22nd. So the word came initially was the 16th, ended on the 22nd. But this is what he said through her about the darkness. This season, says the Lord, be sifted unlike any other time, for they do the bidding of the works of darkness, for the abominations presented by devils that deliver doctrines of darkness, manipulating the cover to be seen as light and good and loving. Liars, says the Lord. They are liars.
Oh, he's been talking about them as liars and snakes and rats. And guess what happens to liars? They don't ever prosper.
They do not prosper. That's exactly right. And then Diana Larkin, there was actually four on the darkness where God is speaking, because I think a lot of people are feeling it. You know, I'm hearing from a lot of people, they'll in the comments or they'll text me or email me. They're like, it just feels so heavy right now. You know, I'm feeling the darkness. And so God's like speaking, you know, he's like, okay, you're feeling this, but this is what I'm doing on my side. So the Lord said through Diana Larkin on the 23rd, he said, all that the darkness stole, built, and planned will be swept away by my ocean of glory. That's exactly what you said.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you said.
That's exactly what God, you know, because that's who God is. You think about a dark room and you think about when you flip up the switch and you flip on the switch, the light destroys the darkness.
Yep.
Well, it's like flipping on God's switch and going, God, we receive your glory. We receive all you have. And we thank you, Father God. We abide in you, and we abide in you that we are completely free. We thank you that the enemy can't even be anywhere near you. And we thank you, Father God, for your glory. Yep. Show us your glory. That's one of the things as a prayer team as we pray about all the time. It's just like when Moses did before the, you know, the Exodus and stuff, he was praying, show me your glory.
Yes.
Well, that's what we're praying for. Show us your glory, Lord. Show us the glory, and going from glory to glory and faith to faith, because we need it right now. And in the midst of darkness, God then was said yesterday in that prophetic word, I'm pretty sure it was yesterday's. I've had heard so many lately, but he said that, am I going to find faith, but I'm also going to see my light shining through you in the midst of that dark.
Yes. Cause we have Jesus in us. So everywhere we go, if you know, and you were saying this, but it's so true. If you are in a dark room and you flip on the light, there is no fight between the light and the darkness. The darkness flees when the light comes on. And remember, in fact, Robin Bullock started having us declare and decree John 1:1-14, which is Jesus came into the world. He was the light. He is the light. And he came into a dark time. So we've been declaring and decreeing over this last since at the beginning of 2024, Jesus into this time, the light of the world. Well, remember, we carry Jesus everywhere we go. So every situation that we walk into in this time when it's dark, we are the light because Jesus is in us. And we bring that light everywhere that we go. I was also thinking, you know, I heard this before and it's so true. If somebody is infested with rats or mice or cockroaches or something like that, the room is dark. They're kind of running around. But as soon as you turn on the light, they flee to hide from the light. That's like demons. That's like what the devil's doing, you know? And so when God's glory comes in the light, they flee because they can't be in the light. They can't handle it. Just like roaches or rats or whatever.
Yeah, that's what we're supposed to be in more and receive more of God's glory, which is his presence.
Yes.
If we receive more of his presence, the enemies cannot be. They cannot be in the presence of Almighty God.
Yep.
And that's why God is saying, listen, abide in me. And that's like, I just came out of 5 days being in a hotel with the Lord and just spending time with him. I said, Lord, I don't want to leave. And he goes, well, aren't I with you everywhere you go?
Good.
He was right. But it was like not having that distraction of, you know, all your things you do during the day. He's like, but include me in everything you do during the
day.
And it's the same way. And so if we, and one of the things that he said in that prophecy is acknowledge me. And that's really hard because it's like, he's already here.
Right.
And we're like, God, do you hear me? God, do you hear me? It's like, I'm here. Of course I hear you. It's
I like, hear everything.
If we're in the same room, you know, it's like, you know, if I'm in the same room as my husband, he's going to hear me and I'm going to hear him. We're in the same room.
Yep.
But you think of like with your kids, if they're in the same room as you, but they're in front of the phone's in front of their face.
Distracted. Yep.
They may not be acknowledging you because they're distracted with the phone.
So true.
It's like he was showing me the same thing. And so when we talk about all the things that we've done in this last 4 years, God's been talking about his glory. He's been talking about the darkness. He's talking about these warnings and saying, hey, you're at the point when the warnings are going to stop.
Yep.
At this point. And also God's been saying, but look, even if they lock you down, even if they do all these different things, even if they bring the viruses, which she's talked about, even if they bring the chaos in the streets, which they're doing, even if they bring all these things, which they're doing, trying to do the election, which we know, nothing is bigger than God.
Right.
Nothing.
That's exactly right.
If we know that, then we will keep our joy.
Yep.
I mean, I don't care what happens.
Because we know who our daddy is.
Yeah.
He's absolutely good. He's absolutely good. When he looks up, there's nothing above him. He is above all things. And he's our dad.
Yeah.
And he loves us. He knows every hair on our head. He's not going to let anything happen to us.
Mm-mm. And you know what? He's had to allow certain things to happen just for the fact that we didn't know and we were not aware of. So if we were not aware of, Hosea 4:6 says you're destroyed for lack of knowledge. We didn't know all these things were going on. So we didn't pray about all these things. So God is like, it's like an unveiling. But also another thing that's so beautiful, when the enemies met to completely destroy us, say, for instance, in 2020 and beyond, they thought we were not going to get up. We were just going to submit and give in. And, you know, they were going to have already their global, you know, regime and their global government. And instead, we're banding together.
They underestimated us.
Yeah. People finding out more about God, having a better relationship with God. They're pressing into God. They're praying, yep, studying more than they ever have been before. They're like all these different things. And it angers the enemy, just like it did with Pharaoh in that time right before the Exodus. He saw that they were more in number and he saw that they were mightier than him and they could overthrow him. And that's why you're seeing what you're seeing now with our leaders, because they know they didn't break us.
It's so true. And you're exactly right. You know, we've been to a lot of the Reawaken events together. We meet a lot of people. And the thing that's been consistent over these last few years of meeting people and talking to people is that, you know, them either saying they met Jesus for the very first time, they rededicated their life to Jesus, or they just started reading their Bible at home. They went to church every Sunday, but had never read their Bible, really had much of a personal relationship with the Lord. And now they have a relationship with the Lord. So what the enemy meant for harm when 2020 came and the lockdowns and everything that had happened during that time, what he meant for harm, God used for good. He's so creative. He could be like, okay, you can do that, but wait till you see what I do to turn this thing around.
Exactly. And I've noticed that from so many different people. They're just like, I am not ever studying the Bible like this. I have not had a relationship with the Lord and fellowship with him like this. I never knew about. And one thing that I think that was like blowing me away is that people didn't know the authority. I mean, I grew up learning this and being taught this, but so many people didn't know the authority of Almighty God. They didn't know they had any authority. And then they didn't have any confidence in when they prayed. And they're like, well, sometimes he's going to hear you and sometimes he won't hear you. And maybe you'll get a prayer answered and maybe you won't get a prayer answered. They're just kind of like spitballing and they just go with it. And now you're just like, well, I have confidence in God's word because I'm going to say God's word. And I know if I say God's word, I'm going to hear God's word. If he hears the word that he speaks, he is faithful to perform his word.
Yep. That is so true. And almost like you don't want to make Jesus look bad, you know, like, okay, so you like sometimes people would pray for healing and they'd be like, well, God, if it's your will, you know, heal him. We know it's Jesus's will because every person he prayed for was healed. God doesn't put sickness on people to teach him a lesson.
That's right.
You know, and so he is absolutely good. And so once we have confidence in that we know he's good and he wants everyone healed, then we can pray with confidence, not if it's your will. We already know it's your will for that person to be healed. And he said that we would do greater things than he did. And so when we have him, he said, you want me to go to heaven because I'm going to send my Holy Spirit and you will do greater things than I did. So, man, I'm like, okay, bring it on, God. Obviously, I'm not the one performing the miracle. I'm just a vessel that you're working through. I lay hands on someone, Jesus heals them. You know, and they say, how does that happen? Jesus did it. He paid for it 2,000 years ago on the cross. You know, I mean, understanding the authority that we walk in and that he's absolutely good and he does want everybody healed and he does want us to be victorious.
Yeah. And another thing that's happening in the midst of this darkness is that he said, I am revealing to the world who I really am and not a version of who people said I was.
Yes.
And that's the big difference. You have religion, you have legalism, you have, you know, all these different things that are just showing, the version of how they see God and then interpretation of his word and not who he really is and not what his word really says.
Right.
And so that's that truth that's setting people free of finding out who God is and then seeing what he will actually do. Because that's why I've been studying and preaching about the names of God, because if they just know God as God, they don't really know him as who he really is. They don't know him as El Elyon, which is the Most High God. They don't know him as, first of all, everybody wants victory.
Right.
They don't know him as Jehovah Nissi, as their victory. Some people in the body of Christ don't even believe in healing. Well, healing's passed away. It's not for today. Well, no, he's Jehovah Rapha. He's healer.
Right.
So that just destroys it right now because he didn't change. He is the healer. That's his name.
Yep.
People will say, well, he doesn't provide. You know, God doesn't care about that kind of stuff. No, he's Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He does care about it because he's a provider.
Yes.
So it's so true. The spirit of religion, it's destroying that legalism. Mm-hmm. It's destroying those man-made doctrines and the lies that that Satan has been putting in the body of Christ to deceive God's people and then not believing God.
Oh, that's so true. And that religious spirit is dangerous. That's what caused the Pharisees to not even recognize the Messiah when he came, you know? And so understanding that religious spirit is dangerous. That is not something we want to play with or even get close to.
Like, if you're like, are you a religious person? No, I'm just a child of God. And I pay attention to his word and I read his word and I fellowship with him. And that's how I am. I don't call myself, well, I'm a religious person. No. Because I'm not that part of that religious tradition and religious mindset.
Right.
I just have a fellowship with God and I want to know what he says and I want to know what to expect from him.
Yep.
And I want to know who I am in Christ.
Yes.
And so, because if we know who we are in Christ, then we can do all things.
It's our identity. Yeah. And names are important. Yeah. That's why he would always change a name, you know, from Abram to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah, you know, I mean, it's like, because it was the significance of understanding the name, because when that name was spoke over and over again, you created that in your world, you know, and that's why all those names of God are so important and that we do know them. I actually have a Bible of names. I'm going to pull that out. I'm so glad you brought that up. I'm like, I'm going to pull out that Bible. I love that Bible. That was so fun.
I was sending everybody to, and I can't say her name right this second, I'll remember, but it was that she had an actual book of the names of God. And I remember when I was in, when I was studying all this stuff and I had this book and I'm reading it and I'm like, you know, I knew God and I, you know, I've been born again since I was 5 years old. I don't know anything different, but the different names and the different characteristics of God. And I was like, this is so cool.
It is.
You know who he is. You know what you should know and expect of what him to do, because how can you trust somebody you don't know?
Right.
That's why he's revealing to us who he is, what his names are, just like he did in the book of Exodus when he said, look, I'm El Elyon, I'm the Most High God. And he was saying, I'm going to show you miracle signs and wonders now. Or sorry, I think it was Jehovah. And before, they knew me as El Shaddai. Mm-hmm. They didn't know me as, sorry. It was, they didn't know me as Jehovah. And Jehovah was the one who was miracle signs and wonders. And obviously, as you see with Jehovah, he's the one who did all his miracle signs and wonders in the book of Exodus.
Right.
So even his names, how he revealed himself to his children at the right time that his children needed something. With Abraham, he needed El Shaddai, the God who nothing is impossible, because it was impossible for them to have a child.
Right.
And then he revealed himself as Jehovah with Moses because they needed that God of miracle signs and wonders. So he always did that. And so that's why I think it's so important. Marilyn Hinckley, her book. Marilyn Hinckley.
I will check that out. That is so cool. Thanks for letting me know about that.
Yeah.
That is very cool.
Okay. What else are the prophets saying? I can't wait.
Okay. So this is pretty cool. Again, on that darkness, he's still going on that. Tim Sheets. Do you know Tim Sheets? He's a pastor.
Yes.
Okay. Dutch Sheets' brother. He's out of Ohio. This is on April 21st, 2024. The Lord said through him, we cannot allow the present darkness to blind our thinking, and we must set ourselves to win one of the greatest battles our nation has ever presented. God knows how to overwhelm darkness with his glorious light.
Yes, I love it. I love how, that was just three, four people now that talked about glory and that talked about darkness in the same week.
Yes.
I think what God is trying to tell us is that even though there's darkness, God's glory is going to be experienced even more. The ones who are looking, the ones who are expecting it, the ones who are declaring it, decreeing it, and saying, God, I receive your glory. You said you put a great distinction between the people of Israel and the land of Goshen, between Exodus or Egypt and them. I thank you. We're not part of that darkness. We are part of your glory, because they can happen simultaneously.
That is exactly right. I ended up writing this down. I think I'm going to put it on my refrigerator as a reminder. Tim Sheets was sharing a story. So he was in Bible college in 1978. And he said a pastor came through. They always had pastors come and speak at the church from different places across the nation. And he said the pastor came in. He goes, I ended up writing this sentence in the front of my Bible. And he said, I've never forgot it. He said, the pastor said, never doubt in the dark what God has shown you in the light. I thought, that is such a great reminder.
Mm-hmm. God,
because it's dark. So don't forget what God has shown us in the light. Don't forget right now when it seems so dark.
Yeah, because the thing is, just like with the children of Israel, when he was showing them a great distinction, and before that angel of death came, he showed them many different things. Before the Red Sea came, he showed them many different things. Before they went to the Promised Land, he showed them all these different things, and they still forgot.
Yes.
And so when he says earnestly in the Bible, that is take him seriously. And so we need to take it seriously, like you said. Remember what God is saying in the light. Mm-hmm. Because what Satan does in that darkness is try to, what he says in Mark chapter 4, where Jesus was talking about the parable of the sower, and the sower sows the word.
Yep.
Satan comes to immediately steal
yep.
that word. So he's going to come to immediately, he talks about that in Hebrews chapter 10, when you first come enlightened, enlightenment comes, then what happens? The enemy tries to come and steal. Mm-hmm. And so tests and trials and adversity is going to come.
That's exactly right.
Doesn't want us to knowing who we are in Christ, knowing the power and authority we have, because in this darkness, we're going to be shouting, rejoicing. We're not going to be crying, moaning, groaning,
complaining,
freaked out, you know, in fear, like panic mode. We're going to be like, go God, I can't wait. You know, like, we're going to be celebrating. And that's the opposite of what the enemy wants us to do. Because when we are celebrating, we're praising, worshiping God, that is when God sets up ambushes against the enemy and destroys them.
Man, that is exactly right. It's interesting because yesterday on the prophetic report, every week, I always blow the shofar at the end of the prophetic report. And we say, go host, make toast.
I love that.
It's so much fun. Everybody grabs their shofars. I hear people all the time. They come up to me. I have my shofar. I blow the shofar with you. And God reminded me, obviously this was used, you know, around war a lot of times in the Bible. You had Gideon, you had when they went around the walls of Jericho, and then they blew their shofars. Well, God reminded me yesterday, as I was getting ready to pick up my shofar, and I shared it with the listeners, that when they were going around the walls of Jericho before they blew their shofars, they were not allowed to talk. Mm-hmm. And he said, he wanted me to remind everyone, it was because he didn't want them murmuring. He didn't want them having any kind of doubt coming out of their mouth in any way, because it looked impossible. What are they doing marching around the walls of Jericho? I mean, what's that going to do? You know, but God did not allow them to talk. And I think that what he was really sharing with me is be careful of the words that come out of your mouth, because we're all created in the image of God. And one of the things he did is he spoke the world into existence. And so the words that we speak are seeds that we are sowing. And we never want to sow seeds that we don't want to have growing. And so if there's any doubt in your heart of what's going on, don't speak it. Don't allow it. Just keep your mouth shut. And then when you have that, declare and decree what God is saying and what you're hearing through the prophets, that's positive, not what you don't want to have happen in your world.
So there was one pastor said to another, evangelist said to another, he said, use the vocabulary of silence. And what that meant was saying, he was saying that to the other person was, it's your mouth is getting you in trouble. And so there was one thing, he's like, vocabulary of science, what does that mean? Silence, what does that mean? To keep our mouth shut. Mm-hmm. And the Lord was showing me something very similar to the same thing with the walls of Jericho. He didn't want them complaining. He didn't want them, because if you complain, you remain. And that's all God's people ever did.
Yep.
They always complained. And you have to think about this. They probably thought, oh, we're such idiots. We probably look so stupid. We're just walking around this wall. You know they were getting mocked.
Sure, of course.
You know the people in the walls of Jericho, because there was like six, I think, chariots wide on the top of that. You know they're probably on top
they
of that,
were watching.
Walking around, laughing, probably throwing stuff at them, mocking them. That's what Satan always does. He always mocks before God does something. He always brings that spirit of doubt, those words of doubt. The same thing he was doing with Goliath. Spouting off at his mouth the entire time, and all the Israelites, and they're the big fat babies who went and ran and cried and whined and complained, and they went and hid from Goliath. And God's like, do you not remember who I am? Do you not remember all the things that I've done?
Right.
It doesn't matter if you have an enemy in front of you that's 5 feet tall, or if you got an enemy in front of you that's 12 feet tall. I am bigger than that enemy.
Yep. That's exactly right. It doesn't matter.
No.
God created everything. He's not a created being. He's above all things. Nothing. I always hate it when I see pictures. I don't know if you've seen it before, like on social media, where it's like Jesus and Satan arm wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, what is the matter with these people? There is no fight between Satan and Jesus. No. Satan is a created being. In fact, God didn't even get off his throne to throw him out of heaven. I mean, there is no fight between Satan and Jesus.
No, it's like Jesus was like, yeah, fuck you away. He doesn't have to do anything. He already destroyed him.
Yeah, he's already a loser. Like,
if people just got that and realized the importance of the power of that name, the power of that blood, and how Jesus has already, it says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, he's brought him to nothing.
Right.
He said, when you see him arm wrestling, you're just like, Satan can't even get near Jesus. He destroyed him and brought him to nothing. He's underneath his feet.
Right.
He's not on the same level. He's on the same playing field.
No.
Give me a break.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So I always think that's funny, though, but it is perspective. Okay, here's a fun one. This is really fun. Obama.
No.
This is fun. I was really excited about sharing this with you. Three different prophets talked about it this week.
Wow.
Yep. Okay, so this is from that word from you on the 15th. Obama, your days of destroying my nation or even having it under your chokehold are numbered. I will soon show the world how you brought your buddies here to destroy this country and how the puppet in the White House has been controlled, blackmailed, and manipulated by you. Obama, this is not your country. It is not under your control. You do not have power over it, and you do not have control over my people. I will show you that I am the Most High God. Obama, your reign over this nation is through, and so is everyone with you. I will show you that I am the one who is in control. I will show you that this is my nation and not yours, saith the Lord of hosts. Mm-hmm. So that's what he said through you. Amanda Grace, he said through Amanda Grace in this prophetic word she released this week, the 16th through the 22nd. Oh, Obamas, some I will redeem in this season. The rest will fall. The Obamas will lose an O, says the Lord, for the record must be made right.
Oh, I love that. That's awesome.
It is awesome. And then Robin Bullock, April the 21st, Church International on Sunday. Barack Obama will fall. And many others. Hold strong as the page turns, for this great ship of history is about to turn, says the Lord.
Yes. Go God. Oh, I love it. I love it.
Go God. Go God.
Yeah. Whoop, whoop. It's like you do a happy dance.
I know. I mean, it's like justice is coming. I think so many times that we see things that are going on in the world and we're like, is there justice? Are we going to see justice for this? And God is saying you will, but it's not ours to judge. It's his to judge.
Yeah.
That's another thing that God has really shown me that, you know, being careful, we don't want anybody to be damned, you know, to hell. We want there to be, penalties and consequences for their actions, of course. And there always are, you know, you're going to reap what you sow. And so when there's been bad things that people have done, there's always consequences to that. But he's really been having, like, I think he's giving people warnings. That's what I've heard lately too, a lot through the prophets, is there's warnings to these people. Like, you are out of time. You are out of time. There's obviously consequences. They're going to have to face the consequences, maybe even death in some situations. But we don't want them to go to hell. We want to be praying for them to be saved so they don't go to hell in this process.
Yeah, even though it seems like they are deserving.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And it's really hard, just like with Pharaoh when he did to God's people. You know, that was not, it's never on the heart of God for anyone to go to hell. Because hell was not made for human beings. Hell was made for Satan and all of his beings. And
right.
That went with him. And so God wanted all of his people to go to heaven. And that was always in the heart of God. And that's the reason why Jesus came to this earth after what happened with Adam and Eve. So the heart of God, because it was like, well, if God's a good guy, why did he make hell? Well, he didn't make hell for us. He made hell for them. Mm-hmm. The thing is, people have a choice. And so right now he keeps saying woe to those. I mean, when he's saying woe to those, and he's warning.
Like, right.
He's been warning Obama. He's been warning Biden and Nancy and Chuck Schumer and all those people in DC. And he's like, look, you cannot have my nation. and you will not take it down this course. You will not kill it. You're not going to kill a soul of this nation because I am the soul of this nation.
Right. Exactly. And so, and he made a covenant with the founders. I mean, that, I think that's really important. God takes covenants very serious.
Yeah, he does. And he doesn't, and he doesn't, and he doesn't break covenant at all.
No.
And so it doesn't matter what the enemy wants. He's, and he's also warning about what they've done to the church and what they've done to this country in general and how much evil they brought, how much murder and the sex trafficking and all this demonic, evil worshiping that he's talked about the, which you, I know, you know, cause you follow me, but one of the things he talked about also is the entertainment industry.
Yes.
And how that has been so influential and in how people talk, people think, how they act, how they respond to certain things, what they believe, all these type of things. And God's saying, all that stuff is being cut off. Just how the Egyptians were influencing God's people. I don't even know how they got to the wilderness and made their own golden image. I don't even know.
I know. How does that happen?
God's people, they will always warn, and he will have a great distinction. And this is a part of the separation where he's separating the wheat from the chaff. He's separating the goats from the lambs and the sheep. You know, he's separating this. And that's not just the world.
Right.
He's separating the actual body of Christ who is rebelling, just like what happened in when they got to the mountain. And when Moses came down, I mean, there was a great earthquake. And one of the things that you choose what side you're on.
Right.
And some of them were swallowed up.
Yep.
And so it's really hard. And that's why it's so important to pray for the body of Christ, because, you know, judgment also is going to happen in the body of Christ. It's not just the world.
Oh, that's exactly right. That's something too, in these 40 days between April 8th and Pentecost, you know, that obviously that was the thing that Jonah was, God was saying through Jonah, repent, repent, repent. And I believe that's, you know, where our nation is, not just for the people that are evil, but for the body of Christ as well. You know, in talking to Ginger Ziegler, the one that wrote this book I was telling you about, she's so cute. She's been in ministry for 40 years. And so she says, some of the body of Christ, they just need a spanking. She goes, they are out of control. They just need a spanking.
I agree with her. I mean, seriously.
Yeah. It's like a kid that's out of control. You know, it's like they need to be disciplined. We do. And she even said, even for people like, you know, herself, that she goes, Jesus is everything to me. She said, you know, like, I don't swear. I don't do the things, you know, but she goes, I'm still coming to him and saying, God, is there anything in me that I need to be aware of? Was I not obedient? Did I not listen? Is there anything that I've done that I need to repent about? She goes, everybody should be asking the Lord, you know, is there anything in my life that I need to be repenting about? And then obviously not live in condemnation, but also being sensitive to what the Lord is saying, you know, because he's giving a warning. This is what he's calling the United States to do at this time. He showed it through the eclipse. He's saying that's what we need to do.
That's why I was spending time with the Lord. And I said, okay, Lord, if there's anything in me, you know, like a purging, get it out.
Right.
I don't want it. I don't want to act that way. I don't want to live that way. I don't want to do anything like that. I don't want to do anything to grieve the Holy Spirit, because remember, he's our guest. He lives in us. He's everywhere we go. He watches everything that we watch. He's there. He can hear everything we hear.
Yep.
Hear everything we say. So, and people don't realize that we grieve him. And so that, like, you think about, I asked the Lord, I repent of ever grieving, you know?
Sure.
And because you don't ever want to do that.
Right.
And anything you say, like, even people don't realize that they're in fear, you know,
you
trust God and really strong in one side, but on this other side, you're weak in that strength or that, that faith or trust in him. And it's like, okay. Where does faith come? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So if you have, you know, you don't have enough faith over, you have faith for finances, you don't have faith in healing, then you need to read more healing scriptures. Or if you have more faith in healing, but not forth in finances, you got to figure out what God does and see what God does about providing. Or if you have faith about both of those things, but you don't have faith about God and delivering or God's glory, then you need to look in the Bible and see all the examples that he gives of deliverance. Yes. All the examples that he did where he showed up. He showed up and he showed off and he destroyed the power of the enemy and he cut him off and he annihilated him and brought him to nothing. Mm-hmm. And he did that in multiple different locations in the Bible. And so when people are, you know, persecuting and saying, that's not today. And I'm like, why would God not destroy the enemy? Why would he not show his
right?
Love? Why would he not show his love? Why would he not prove to the world who he really is and not something that somebody said that he was? Mm-hmm. Why would he prove to the world that's like, I love that movie back in the day and I was just watched it again recently, God's Not Dead?
Yes.
And he that's so true. Healing is not dead. Mm-mm. Miracles and signs and wonders are not dead.
The prophetic is not dead.
The prophetic is not dead. It's just not. But that's what so many people have been taught in different congregations. Like when my kids were in a private school, they were so ridiculed by, I won't say the denomination that they were, but they're just like, oh, you know, there's no such thing as healings anymore. And, you know, that's kind of, prophetic isn't anymore and all these kind of things. And they were really ridiculed them because of how they believe. Mm-hmm. And I tell the boys, and I said, it's hard because, you know, I can get ridiculed and I can get persecuted and I'm okay with it.
But when it's your child.
Yeah. You see a different, there's a different Julie. Okay.
Yeah.
When it comes to my kids.
Yeah, exactly. And now my grandkids. It's like, exactly.
Mama Bear, don't mess with my kids, you know? But then I realized, and I told them, and even knowing how many times they were bullied, and it was hard for me to like give them the word when you want to just like, where's right. that kid so I can go ring their neck, you know?
Yep.
And I'll repent later for it. But, but in all honesty, and the Lord was showing me, he's like, Julie, you know, in the Bible, when Jesus was on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. That was one of the hardest things to tell my kids, like, you know, forgive them, they know not what they're doing. And, you know, and showing them in Ephesians, yeah. kids, you don't wrestle with flesh and blood. You're right. With principalities and power. So mm-hmm. when we put on your armor every day before you go to school and we're pleading the blood of Jesus, and it seems like all these things are still happening. And it's like, that's what Satan's trying to do to take down your armor mm-hmm. and remove that blood by getting you to get into sin and be offended by it. And are we, any of us perfect? No, we're not. But even if we do fall down, like I said, you can persecute me all you want. I don't care. I can handle mm-hmm. it, but don't go after my kids. Like,
right.
Different. And so
it's true. It's so true. You know, as you were talking earlier too, just made me think, you know, I've talked to people in the past that are like, oh, be careful asking God to put you through the refiner's fire. He just might do it. And I think that comes from a place of almost thinking that God is not good and that he's not a good dad and he doesn't love us. He knows everything about us. And, you know, when he puts us through the refiner's fire, he knows everything. He knows what we can handle, what we can't handle. And he wants us to be the person that he created us to be, that what he envisioned, the destiny he put in us. And anything that's in us that's not through the refiner's fire is keeping us from the perfect will of God, what the plan, when he created us, what he saw for us. And so it's trusting him and knowing he is absolutely good. He loves us and he wants the best things to happen for us when he puts us, you know, through that, and getting rid of anything that's not pleasing, that's not holy, that's not righteous, that's not beautiful in us to make us exactly who he created us to be.
You know, and just like when I was just talking about the mama bear coming out of me.
Yeah, but God understands that.
And asking God to, you know, I'll repent later. Just let me be for a few minutes.
He knows that. He's but like, don't mess with their cubs.
Just think about this for a minute. Just how much, think how much he defends us.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
If we are that way, you know, I'm that way with my kids. You're that way with your kids. And any mom I know who's watching is that way with their kids. Just think how our Heavenly Father is with us.
Yes.
He doesn't take us being bullied mm-mm. and us being ridiculed and persecuted and destroyed. He doesn't take that lightly.
Right.
Like, we wouldn't take it lightly. And we respond differently when it comes to our children. And I know he's our father.
Yep.
And you know, he's not going to take these things lightly. Especially
no way. That
when the enemies are after, when he's after our mind, he's after our bodies, he's after our families, he's after our finances, he's after our peace, he's after our joy. He's after everything that yep. Jesus already provided. He's not going to take that lightly. Mm-mm. It's like, you got the daddy bear coming out.
That's right.
That righteous indignation. And that one that he's saying, listen, I'm your protector. Do you see what I did in the land of Egypt? Do you see what I did there?
Yep.
You see that judgment? You see all those things I did because I warned them and they wouldn't knock it off. Mm-hmm. Paraphrasing. And Fair had to be destroyed.
Yep. That's right.
And so he has to allow these certain things to happen. He has to wake and shake us up. At the same time, he's saying, look, I'm protecting you. Mm-hmm. It's like, I would protect my children no matter what. I mean, they really need to protect me more.
I know, they're big boys. They're going to protect their mama.
Yeah. I was going to say, I can't really protect them anymore and shield them like I used to because I'm shorter than all of them. I'm looking up to all my kids.
Hello.
But it doesn't matter how big they are or how small they are. It doesn't matter how old they are or young they are. They're still my kids.
And yes.
I'm always going to be their mom.
That's right.
And I had one that moved out because, he's 20 years old now. And I was just like, you know what? I said, just because you've moved out and, you got your apartment and you're your old man. I said, you will always be my kid.
That's right.
And I will always pray for you. Like, yep. it doesn't matter if you don't live under this roof. I'm always there fighting those battles for you because that's just what I'm there to do.
Yep.
But if I'm always there for my kids, why wouldn't God not be there for us?
Exactly. And he is. He is. And that's what's so encouraging about every one of these words. As I was going through them, I'll just tell you the other things on here for just this week. There was the chaos and tumult. So there was three people that fell into that category with you. So Julie, Amanda Grace, and Tim Sheets all talking about that. And then expose, God's going to expose. That was, God said it through you, through Tim Sheets and Diana Larkin. Explosive, you and Tim Sheets. Talked about Mexico, which was interesting because God had that word about Mexico. Mm-hmm. Hank Kuhneman had a very similar word about
really?
Mexico. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have that one in front of you?
Yeah, I do.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So you had, the Lord said through you, a shock will come from Mexico. Explosive proof is coming to show you how Mexico is being paid to allow these terrorists through their nation for access into your country. Your government has guaranteed Mexico that those terrorists would not target them or stay in their land, but would come to the United States. And then Hank Kuhneman, the Lord said through him on April the 21st, 2024, I will expose the corruption that has taken place, and it is deep and it is far and it is wide, but my reform and those who are my reformers shall arise at this time. And he's talking to Canada, Mexico, and the United States. And I will cause the cord of three strands to be established over you, North America, and you will be known as North America the Great. Pay attention, so I will establish these things in three. I've said to you, Canada, United States, Mexico, watch what I do.
Wow. And there's another prophecy that goes along with that too. He's talked about how he's going to unite the United States and America and Canada.
Man.
And that was from probably about 2 years ago now.
Okay.
We talked about the freedom of California or Canada. He's talked about Canada a lot, actually. But he says he was going to unite those nations. He talked about getting rid of the regime that was here, getting rid of the regime that is in Canada, and bringing these countries together, just as he's doing with Netanyahu and with President Trump. He's going to bring Israel and the United States back, America back together. I didn't know about the uniting of Mexico. That is super cool.
Isn't that so cool?
All of a sudden, the judgment. So there's a judgment and things happen there. They're going to want to be on the right side of things.
Yes.
When God judges it.
That is exactly. I love that part where God said, North America, you will be known as North America the Great. Pay attention. So I will establish things in three. I've said, Canada, United States, Mexico, watch what I do.
See?
Like, yes.
Yo, God, again, if we had our intention on him, like, yes, we're excited and every like love the chemistry that we have together because we are excited. But at the same time, because we're talking about God and yep. We know God.
Yes.
We know that if not just one person saying it, not just two people are saying it, but multiple people are saying these things. It's like taking this massive puzzle that we've talked about so many different times and then bringing it together. And why is he doing that? Is he showing us? He's the one who's bringing this puzzle piece and he's going to complete it.
Exactly. Exactly. And he always finishes what he starts. And again, we get to be a part of it. And I've heard you say it before, and I say it all the time. We were born for such a time as this. This is truly the best time to be alive. And we're going to see things of miraculous proportion, things we only read about in the Bible, we are going to experience and are experiencing during this time. So it's an honor to be alive.
You know, and another thing, because you can watch other people, have other people talked about things that are intensifying?
Yes, definitely. Okay. That's a part of a lot of the words. It is. And that's why I think, you know, Tim Sheets was talking about it always gets darker right before the light. And I think that's kind of where we are. I think that's why people are feeling this. And that's why there's so many words about the darkness and his glory and revival, because God is letting people know it's intensifying. It's feeling darker right now, but it's because we're on the verge of a major breakthrough. And another thing that I hear all the time is in a day. I mean, it is in a day. And I've heard you say that, and we're hearing it from the prophets over and over again.
All it takes is one day, and one day is all God needs.
Yes.
And another thing he said that I remember talking about just one day is that he said, you'd go to bed one night, it will be one way. And then you wake up and it will be another.
Yes, Lord.
So one day, but we can go to sleep and everything, it seems normal.
Yeah.
And the next day we wake up and things are unnormal, you know, abnormal.
Yep.
You can go to bed one way, like with darkness and despair. You wake up the next morning with glory and victory.
Yes, that is exactly right. It's exactly right. And I think people are really feeling it. So again, as I'm kind of finishing up here, I'm getting ready to jump on with Dr. Artis. So I'm excited. Okay. I know he's a friend of yours as well. But I just, again, God is calling us to participate, you know, to be a part of what he's doing right now. And, you know, to stand with the prophets, to be praying for them, but then at the same time, be declaring and decreeing the words that they're speaking, because they're words from God that we can help to manifest into the world. That's what we're doing right now, because we're partnering with what God is saying. Mm. Same with that, what the prophets are saying, and then the word of God, scripture, declaring and decreeing, because there's so much power in that.
Yes. And so I know we're going to have to start making this, you know, more frequent.
I would love to. I get so excited when I come on with you.
We will make it. We will make it happen. I know we're going to be seeing you guys in a couple of weeks, which I can't wait for that. So in person.
Yes. So I'm really excited for that. It's going to be great.
Yes. So, well, thank you for joining today's show. And I really do hope this has encouraged each and every one of you, because that is what it is supposed to do. It's supposed to encourage you that God is speaking through multiple mouthpieces in order to get people's focus and their attention back on God, because God is in control. He's the biggest thing in the existence. There's the Most High God. There's no one bigger than him. And he always wins.
I mean, he does.
I don't know how to put it that even more better than that, but God always wins.
He does. He always wins. And also, a lot of the people that follow you started following us at Flyover Conservatives. Yes. Thank you so much for that. We love, in fact, I get a lot of comments. Hey, I saw you on Julie. So thank you for that. I love your audience. They're absolutely amazing. So
I'm trying to find your website here. So I think I had it in all these.
Oh, that's okay. No problem. It's flyoverconservatives.com. You can also follow us on Rumble, Flyover Conservatives. That's where you can find the Prophetic Report and all of our other shows.
I know I have that in the description box. So if the moderators can share that in the comment section, thank you, Chris. Yeah, my husband's watching and he's.
I love Chris. He's on the Prophetic Report sometimes, and we love having him in the chat. He's so much fun. And I love following him on Facebook. He's hilarious.
Oh, he's a hoot.
He's the funniest guy.
Don't tell him that, though.
The whole flyover team loves Chris.
Yeah. So he put it in the chat for us. And I know they're going to, I put it in the description box. They'll put it in the comment section. So go to flyoverconservative.com. They are on Rumble. I have that and the link in the description box for you. So go and watch Stacey. She does a prophetic report every Wednesday. Like she says, she watches it. She does it at 11:11. And so anyway, so thank you for having
me. Thank you, Julie. This has been a blast as always. I love you, friend.
I love you too. And we'll see you guys soon. And I hope that everyone is encouraged today. God loves you. We love you. God bless you. And have a wonderful day.
Hello, Flyover family. Join me every Wednesday for the Prophetic Report at 11:11 Central. You can find it on Rumble. You can find it on the Flyover app. We have such an incredible time of hearing from all of these different prophetic voices like Robin Bullock, Julie Green, Barry Wunsch, Amanda Grace, and Hank Kuhneman. Every week, it's either five or six different prophets that are speaking. And what's interesting is God is speaking through them. And all of these voices come together like puzzle pieces. It is so exciting to hear what the Lord is saying. We're hearing from medical. We're hearing from military intelligence. We're hearing from the financial world. We're hearing from mainstream media. But the most important is, what is God saying? He has not fallen off the throne. He's not nervous. He's not chewing his nails. He is in control. He has plans to prosper us and not to harm us. What a great time to be alive. And I'm so excited for you to join me every Wednesday at 11:11.
For those of you that are my age or maybe even, you know, a little older in that range, you probably remember this commercial. Where's the beef?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I guarantee if there's a cut in the supply chain due to weather, any other kind of political attack, we're in election year, your kids are going to be looking at you saying that exact same thing if all you've stored is rice, beans, and maybe some pudding. They're like, where's the beef? They want to substitute real beef for stuff made in a lab.
It's alive.
Even if you're, you know, kind of a prepared person, you've got a few things stored, it's hard to take care of the protein source in a way that's still enjoyable. These prices are so good and the beef isn't in such good quality, you could be storing this beef and use it on a regular basis. This could be part of your Taco Tuesday experience because you don't have to worry about storing it in a freeze location.
The girl has tacos.
So go to flyovermeat.com, use promo code FLYOVER for a huge discount. Again, flyovermeat.com, promo code FLYOVER. You know what time it is. It's time for an economic update with Dr. Kirk Elliott.
How's it going?
Great. Thanks again for joining us today, man. With everything going on in our country, everybody wants to know what is going on with the economy, and you are the man with the answers.
Well, it's an election year, and so everyone's going to be lying about things.
Yeah, right? True.
More so than normal.
Yes.
Yeah, more so than normal. But here's where, if we look at what happened during the Trump presidency, what happened during the Biden presidency, it is so opposite, right? But it's the difference in ideology, in my opinion. You've got Trump, who's a nationalist. He cares, which means it's not a negative term. It means he cares about his country more than the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. Biden is a globalist, cares more about the rest of the world than he does his own country, right? I mean, so I think true. It kind of boils down to that. So when you have that philosophy as the backdrop, it's going to affect your decisions, like you're exporting jobs or to other countries, and you're printing money and trying to get people to purchase. But purchase what? Other countries' stuff, right? And so because Trump wanted to make America great again. How do you do that? Bring jobs back to America. How do you do that? Bring manufacturing back to America, right? Biden's doing the opposite. So every decision that these politicians make has implications, right? So let's look at some of them because I just want to show how Bidenomics actually stinks and what this is doing and how this impacts the markets, right? Because when the economy stinks and you have inflation that's going up, taxes that are going up, cost of borrowing with rising interest rates going up, people are going to spend less. The stock market is a function of revenues, and there's two ways to get revenues. Number one, stimulus money. Okay, sadly, stimulus money is going to be drying up because the BRICS nations took away our petrodollar. Now we're going to have to print our way out of everything. And number two, revenue for companies comes from people spending, right? So stimulus money or us spending. Either way, it's an injection of capital into companies, but we're not spending. We're tapped out as a nation. We're living hand to mouth. With rising prices, rising interest rates, rising taxes, lowering wages, and higher unemployment, it's like, wow, that is a recipe for disaster. But
no kidding.
the effects of Bidenomics. So let's look at a few different things here. Let's look at gas prices.
Yeah. It's these back charts these days, are really nice, I drive by a the Ford way. Truck, man. Every time I fill up, it's $100. It's a $100 bill every time you fill up.
Well, it's same for my truck. It's just a little bit more. Sad thing is I have to fill up mine more than yours because it only gets 8 to 9 miles per gallon. But it's a big truck.
But people feel these things. They can hear, oh, the economy's better than ever. You know, when, you know, my uncle was eaten by cannibals and the economy is doing incredible. Mm-hmm. You know, sound
you
bites.
Lie all you want.
But when they're actually paying for things, you know, people notice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do notice. Yeah, they notice these things. This is why Bill Clinton said it's the economy, stupid, right? It's like people will vote based on their wallet a lot of times. And that's why these numbers that we're looking at are important. So during Trump, his 4 years, right? Average gasoline price was $2.42. Under Biden, it's $3.54. That's up 46%.
Wow.
Don't tell me inflation's 3.2, right?
Yep.
Gas is up 46.
That's ridiculous. Next one,
real wages. So prices are going up, but wages are coming down, right? So under Biden, you know, you look at these wages and what are those numbers on the left? They're the each quarter since he's been president. And what is the number on the right? That is the actually earnings that people made during that quarter where they come down. So people's average salary or average earnings came down between $300 and $400 per quarter.
Wow.
President. So you add up all those quarters, right? What are we in? 13 of them now since he's been president, something like that. People losing $400 a quarter for 13 quarters straight. That's a lot of annual income.
No doubt about it. Away,
right? So that's a sign of a shrinking economy where people, not only do they have less earnings, prices are going up, and so they can't afford to spend.
Right.
Now, this is a big one. Let's look at interest mortgage rates, right? Because that's one of people's biggest expenses is their house, right? So, so mortgage rates, when Trump became president, the average mortgage rate on a 30-year mortgage was 4.1%. By the time he was done, it was 2.8%. So mortgage rates came down 32% while he was president. Biden, on the other hand, well, 2.8% when he started, because that's where Trump ended. But now 6.8%. They're up 146%.
Wow.
And he's not even done yet, right? But why did it go up 146%? Because you use rising interest rates to slow down inflation. Because he is creating a ton of inflation by printing money like there's no tomorrow, which brings us to the next stupid Bidenomics plan, right? Which is, so mortgage rates going through the roof. What are savings rates, right? People aren't saving as much. During Trump's years, savings went up 129%. During Biden's years, down 72%. Because they can't afford. They're digging into their savings month after month after month, trying to make ends meet. Is that signs of a strong economy or a sluggish one?
Definitely sluggish. No doubt about it.
So then, what's that, David?
Just holy cow.
Blown away.
I mean, hope is so important. You know, and when you remove hope from the population and, you know, the news cycles, all these things are bad, but when you're worse, when you've used your savings just to pay the bills, you know, it becomes a very hopeless, you know, emotion in the country because you're going, you know, you're going backwards.
And they can lie all they want. They can say everything that they want, but people know. People know what they're spending. They know what it used to feel like, what it feels like now. You can't lie your way out of this.
Yeah, you absolutely can't. Now, this next chart that came from MRC's research, I don't really like this chart because the way that the government measures inflation and prices are just totally wrong, right? Consumer price index, this is what I did my first dissertation on. They substitute things in and out. So this one's kind of meaningless, but what it points to is prices went up slower with Trump than they did with Biden. I mean, really, Biden's prices are going up three times faster. So the three times faster is an accurate number. Mm-hmm. The number that they're reporting is consumer price index, which is wrong, right? It's totally understated. But the next one, also understated, but what it shows is average monthly inflation under Trump is 1.9%. Under Biden, it's 5.5%.
Again, that's monthly.
Monthly. So this is consumer price index, which is understated on purpose since the Clinton years. So my research that I did my dissertation on showed that we should be at probably unofficially 12 to 15% inflation right now. If you compare apples to apples of where it was in the 1980s when they actually measured inflation appropriately, right? Mm-hmm. Which is why Reagan had to jack up interest rates to 18% to slow down inflation that was 14.3%. So understated, but what this shows is what? That almost 2.5 times greater inflation under Biden than under Trump. But the numbers are off. The numbers should be 12 to 15%, which would make Trump's inflation truly like more in the 5% range, right? So these numbers have been validated last week. One of the Council of Economic Advisors economist under Obama said, you know what? Inflation is like over 18.1% under Biden. It's like, okay, somebody from their own side is actually telling the truth. Yeah. About inflation. And then Larry Fink at BlackRock says true inflation is more like 10 to 12%. So those numbers are in the ballpark I've been talking about for a long time, mm-hmm. right? Not these bogus government numbers, but really we've got persisting inflation. The bottom line is under Biden, about 2.5 times greater than Trump. Prices going up 3 times greater than Trump. Savings rates, I mean, totally down. Mm-hmm. Biden down 72%, Trump up 129%. Mortgage rates up 146% under Biden, where they were minus 32% with Trump. You look at all these numbers and it's like, how could anybody vote for Biden?
Right.
When Clinton said, it's the economy, stupid. People vote with their wallets. Well, I don't know. You've got all kinds of electoral issues and things of that nature, but what I think we're going to see is this is going to kind of spin ugly as soon as the stock market starts crumbling down. And the election could be very, very good for freedom loving people because the economy is so bad. This is where Trump got a bad rap a few weeks ago when he said that he wants the economy to fail before the election. That was not the intent of that saying. He's saying, this is my paraphrase. The economy is going to fail, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I'd rather it be done before I get in rather than after, because if it happens after, I'm getting blamed for it, right? Even though he had nothing to do with it.
Right.
So the point is the economy is going to fail. These numbers are proving that it's going to fail. And Trump has shown under his tenure as president that he can grow the economy. That's what this country needs. And boy, these numbers are pretty drastic. It's no wonder you and I keep talking about how the stock market is overvalued. It's going to keep coming down. This is why gold and silver are persisting, because the inflationary pressures are there. And most of America is feeling the pinch, the hurt of not being able to make ends meet. And that brings financial stress, relationship trouble, health issues. Mm-hmm. It's like our goal is to take this holistic approach to investing, be in the right place at the right time, educate you as to why we're doing what we're doing so that financial anxiety can melt away over time.
So good.
Can I ask you a question? It takes more dollars to get anything. Like, I don't know, we've had this cup 3 years, but you know, however many dollars it took to get this cup, you know, it would take more dollars mm-hmm. today. And so, mm-hmm. you know, if say we were investing in this as a store of wealth, it would take more dollars to get it today than it did 3 years ago. How much of it, you know, we use this term like gold is going up, silver is going up. Are they going up, or is it just it takes more dollars to get them? It takes more dollars to pay for, you know, everything today. So the dollar itself is going like this. is its purchasing power on anything, whether it's this ceramic mug or this microphone or this watch or any, whatever it is, everything, it takes more dollars to get it. So by having something that is a solid value and doesn't depreciate, is it just as this dollar continues to slide at an increasing rate, is that what makes gold and silver such a good place to be? And is it that they're going up, or is it just that the dollar's going down?
It's actually both. If you look at like how many ounces of gold did it take to buy a house in 1929, you know, when the Federal Reserve, right before the Federal Reserve Act, it was about 129 ounces. Okay. I'm sorry, 248 ounces. Today it's like 129. It's like, whoa. So yes, it takes fewer ounces of gold to actually buy a house now, which tells us that gold is actually doing better. So is silver. Than just being a one-to-one, you know, as prices go up and gold is going up at the same rate, so it's a hedge.
Right.
Gold is actually going up faster than the prices are going up. So it actually is one of those, well, this is actually really great. Not only are you protecting, but you're actually growing. So it's some of both, David.
So it's almost would have been half on the gold. So it was 248 ounces, you said, and now it's like 120 some?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So it really is
holding.
So
a lot more dollars, a lot less gold.
Yes.
So, you know, that's the trend. I want to also dispel one of the thing with a conversation with a friend who was like, man, I've always wanted to get into gold and silver. It seems like a great investment, but I want to keep my money more liquid. And I'm like, I think that's a perception people have. When you have gold or silver, we were obviously all silver, at a depository, like it's about 48 hours and you have it back in your hands and you can do whatever you want with. It's not like, you know, liquidating a piece of property or anything else.
That you're having to sell yourself, because that's a relationship we have with Dr. Kirk.
I don't have to go find a buyer. I just like, bam, make a phone call. Yeah. In 48 hours, that money is in my account. Done. Without any effort.
With us, it is, because we do bullion.
Mm-hmm.
So it has nothing to do with us as a firm. It has to do with what kind of gold and silver are you buying. Bullion being a manufacturing metal, it's always in demand for Sony, Samsung, LG, different countries, right? If you buy a rare coin, like, okay, I love Trump, but like a Trump coin, for example, sure. Or something old that was minted in the 1920s, it's not something that the depositories want or need for manufacturing. So you're going to have to sales guy call and say, hey, have I got a deal for you? We've got this excess inventory. And let's say that you were trying to sell that to your dealer because you wanted money. They can't give you money unless they sell it to somebody else. So there's not a built-in market for rare coins, old coins, what we call in the industry semi-numismatic coins. They're not 100% liquid unless the dealer you're working with that sold you those things can get rid of them, mm-hmm. right? So what if that company goes out of business? And they were the only firm marketing some kind of a rare coin. It's like, well, crud. It's like, I don't know if I can get rid of it. You can always get rid of it, but you'd have to sell it to the depository and they're just going to melt it, right? Yeah. So you're going to get like less than bullion prices because you're going to get less
spot
price. So this is why it is so, so, so important that when you're allocating into gold and silver that you simply just do bullion. Because there's always a market for it. I don't have to make a market for it. It's already there. I just make a phone call.
You're not selling it like a collector baseball card or something like that. You got to create a market for it. So I love that. It makes a difference where you acquire your gold and silver. When it comes time to get back out, especially, there's no commission when we sell. It's all wins, and we get to keep all those gains.
And it's a relationship that you have with Dr. Kirk. It's not a one-time purchase. So when you go to Flyover Gold, it's a place you can fill out your information. When you do that, someone from Dr. Kirk's team will get a hold of you to set up a free consultation. It doesn't cost you any money whatsoever. Get all your questions answered, find out what your options are, or you can also call 720-605-3900 to set up that free consultation. Again, it's 720-605-3900. Or go to flyovergold.com. Dr. Kirk, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. This is a crazy time to be alive.
Well, just in our lifetime, used to be where you'd hear your grandparents talk about how cheap gas was and stuff, and it was 75 years before, 50 years, you know, before.
And so we've seen a lot of changes since Biden took office. $700 more a month
than what you needed in January of 21 when he took office.
You might hear these kind of things and think, oh, that's overwhelming. I can't control the government. I can't control what they're doing. I can't control the spending. But we can take care of ourselves.
You want to make sure that you're buying bullion from somebody that you can trust and someone that does not charge you a commission when you go to sell.
If there's going to be a commission, have it on the front end, not the back end when it skyrockets. And now you're like, oh my gosh, look at this big, huge commission I got to pay because it's on the back end before I sell it.
You can buy an ounce of silver for $23. So this is something everybody can get into. And if silver goes to $50, if it goes to $75, if it goes to $100, all of those profits are yours. And that's happening while the dollar is buying less and less at the actual grocery store.
So you can go to flyovergold.com, fill out your information. When you do that, someone from Dr. Kirk's team will get a hold of you to set up a free consultation. It doesn't cost you any money whatsoever. Or to do the same thing, you can just call 720-605-3900.
If you want to do anything worthwhile in life, you've got to be hungry. It's better to be prepared for an opportunity and not have one than to have an opportunity and not be prepared. So every day I was working to develop myself. And that's what you must do.
I promise you one thing. You have never seen any player in the entire country play as hard as I will play the rest of the season.
Get here! Hey, we got 30 minutes for the rest of our life! 30 minutes! 30 minutes! 30 minutes for the rest of our life!
There were none before me, and there will be none after me. Therefore, that makes me the one and only. Young and single and love to mingle, certified, bona fide, and indubitably qualified to bring you satisfaction, a whole lot of action. Look out, baby, I'm your love man. I was hungry. I was hungry. You gotta be hungry.
Hey, Flyover family, come join us June the 27th and 28th, 2024 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We're going to be there with Clay Clark and an amazing group of individuals that have made such a difference in so many people's lives.
Do you want to increase your production in a job? Do you want to make more sales? Do you want to own your own business? Do you want to have breakthroughs financially? The key to that is knowledge.
Clay Clark is anointed to help people in business. We've watched him over the last couple of years, and we've been blown away. He's part owner of over 160 businesses, $2.4 billion in sales.
So before politics and the Great Reset came into Clay's life, he had the number one rated Apple podcast. And he interviewed people like Anthony Robbins, Seth Godin, the top authors, the top business minds in the world. At this specific event, there was an interesting cast of characters that come from gangs to American Idol.
Some of the guests that are going to be there: Michael Levine, Colton Dixon, Peter Tompkins, John Lee Dumas, Mondo De La Vega,
and Tim Tebow. They're there to share what they've done and their breakthroughs and what their story is. And then Clay lays his map of business success, calls the path for every person to follow.
So you may be sitting there thinking, okay, I get it. What do I have to do? Go to thrivetimeshow.com. When you get there, the tickets are $250 or whatever you can afford. Yes, you got that right. $250 or whatever you can afford. You can name your price. So there are no excuses. You have to join us there. There are only a few VIP tickets left, like David said, special dinner and special time with the speakers. That is $500 why they last. So $500, only a few left if you want a VIP ticket. We want to meet these speakers as well, so we got VIP tickets.
I want to meet Tim Tebow.
I do too. The date is June the 27th and 28th, 2024 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Go to thrivetimeshow.com to get your tickets. For more great content, go to flyoverconservatives.com.